Welcome to Season 4 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC, hosted by Ruby Pinto and produced by Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 100 of Soccer Over Gotham. We finally made it. And as always, we have another great show for you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We have a good one for our 100th episode. There's the return of the press. There is the return of Sinead Farley. There is the debut of Rose Lavelle and Katrin Berger. Came up big in this matchup we had. Gotham is indeed taking part in the first ever CONCACAF Women's Champions Cup. We'll give you the details. We will talk about this injury list. Is it possibly getting shorter? That is great news. And we reflect on this wild game in Harrison as only we can. We look forward to a familiar foe in the Courage, this time at home. And we have a special guest for our 100th show. I had the honor to talk to Sinead Farley about her storybook season from rejoining the league, making the Ireland World Cup squad, overcoming Portland with Mana Shim, becoming a champion. Sinead is one of the most introspective, thoughtful, and honest guests we've had. I can't wait for you guys all to hear it. But first, I had to, for the 100th episode, assemble the original super team, which is Ruby, Jenna, and myself. How are you all?
I'm back. No, I love y'all. I'm so happy always to be back on the pod, and especially for this momentous occasion. And I know I've said this to you both before, but I love that we all kind of started covering this team, not only at the same time, the three of us, but right when they rebranded to Gotham from Sky Blue. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we've really like been on this journey together with the team, like through this like new era that they've been in. So yeah, it just feels really, really nice and really right that I could be here for this 100th episode. So thank you so much, as always, for having me on.
Yeah, that's true. We've been covering this team from the lows to the highs.
Jenna, you are our 13th episode for a guest.
Wow.
That's how long we've been doing this together.
Wow. Lucky number 13.
There you go.
You know, for myself, this is my last spring break, as long as things keep going the way they are. I'm excited about that. And check this out. I volunteered last Sunday, so I don't have to volunteer this Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'll be done with podcasting for today, for the rest of the week. So I actually have 2 days where I don't have anything planned. I have no responsibilities. I'm going to go crazy.
The phone. Don't do anything.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Hibernate.
Yeah, I'm going to do some gardening on Thursday, and then Sunday is going to rain, so I'm going to stay inside, maybe watch some TV. What's that like?
Do you have Netflix?
I do have Netflix.
Well, I don't know if you're in the mood, but this one is a great one, and everyone's talking about it. Okay. Baby Reindeer. It's crazy. You should watch it. It's about this guy that is a comedian that works at a bar. All of a sudden gets stalked by this like 40-year-old like lady that just keeps coming, and she's stalking, and it just gets crazy. Have you watched it, Jenna?
No, I'm listening to you talk about it.
Well, you guys gotta watch it. I don't want to ruin it. Like,
all right,
I'm telling you.
I'll put it on my list.
Indeed. So Ruby, how are you?
I'm doing good. And I feel like kind of like what you did or you going to do this weekend. I did this weekend. Nice. Kind of just like turned off my phone. I was like, don't want to talk to anyone. I was a couch potato. That's how I watch Reindeer. I binge watch Reindeer.
So
amazing.
Episode 100. We made it. Your thoughts, everybody.
First of all, we did it. 100 episodes in the books. And we've seen a lot of Gotham podcasts come and go, but we're still here. So that's good.
I think they say when you get 100 episodes, you're ready for syndication. Is that what? For reruns? We're not ready for reruns. Sorry.
No, definitely no reruns
for us.
We need some royalties. What are you talking about?
I know. It's great. It's like 100 first days. But no, it's just so great. And, you know, like Ruby said, like people come and go, podcasts, all that. But I just, you know, from my outside/inside perspective of the work you guys have done, like no one works harder I know how much you both do, like Gary behind the scenes, like the way he produces the show and gets the guests lined up, like it writes the script notes, like it's just so much work. And Ruby with the social media and doing content at games, and when you can live stream the press conferences, like I just want, you know, the listeners to know, like, you know, you hear the once a week show, but there's just so much that goes into what you both are doing here. And I see just like how much love and care you have for your project, for the team, to put on just like a great show that's like fun and informative and timely. And it's truly amazing. And so I just wanted to shower you with praise because you deserve it so much. And you know, you guys are always my go-to podcast every week. So thank you.
No, that really means a lot. Thank you so much for those kind words. And I just feel like motivated now to keep going.
Yes, please.
And as always, it's a community project. So a huge mm-hmm. thank you goes out to every listener to this podcast for downloading, subscribing, sharing. We are one of the like top shared shows in our category around the world. And we have, I think, 26 countries downloaded us last year, which is pretty mm-hmm. amazing. And we wouldn't awesome. Be here without the fans listening in. And we love sharing our random thoughts and our passion for Gotham with y'all. And we're excited to see what these next 100 episodes hold for us.
One more thing. You talked about hearing our random thoughts. Mm-hmm. I have a good one for this episode.
Okay.
A good random thought.
I don't know if I do.
At the end.
Yeah. So let's do what we do. We just talk about the club. We talk about some headlines. And this was announced right after we dropped the last episode. So Gotham is in the first ever Intercontinental Women's Club Championship. Portland, San Diego, Gotham, Tigres, Whitecaps, Frasers, and then LDA. So it's the 2024-25 CONCACAF W Champions Cup includes a preliminary round, so more games, followed by group stage, more games. Preliminary round play-ins will be a single leg match between two clubs, with the winner advancing to the group stage. The group stage will feature 10 clubs divided into two groups of five, so and only four advance. There's going to be games that are going to be two home and two away against every opponent, which is a lot. So, and then semifinals, third place match, and then a final. And the first ever CONCACAF Women's Championship Cup will be crowned. The championship will be crowned. It'll be a centralized venue to be announced later. And the draw will be June 6th. So we're going to be very excited. It starts August 20th, and it goes all the way through to May 22 next year. This can be a lot. It sounds crazy. Your initial thoughts, everybody.
My first thought is how this final is going to be in May of the following year.
Why is it like a year later?
Yeah, that's crazy. Then let's say if Gotham makes it to the final, that means that they're probably going to have like new players, another team, and like draftees, trades, whatever happens.
Yeah, more games, yay, but more games, boo. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of drain on these players. It's going to have to be traveling a lot. It's going to be all through the, you know, ends in October, then it picks up again. It's pretty crazy.
I'm a very of two minds on this. I think it's too many games. Like, it's just mm-hmm. too many games. And I think these rosters are not deep enough. Just, you know, 26 players, but Gotham has so many injured right now. Like, they're lucky if they can field 20. On a given day, that includes usually all three goalkeepers. So that I think that's really, really tough. Also, we have to go to Philly for one of these games, which I'm like, ugh, about. But I think, you know, the fact of the matter is that this is good for the sport. It really, really is. And Gotham has said over and over and over again that they want to be a destination club. They want to be an international club. And this is how you do it. You get into these types of tournaments. You show that, you know, you're a team that people want to play for, that you're a team winning international trophies. So, I hope they do well. And I hope to see them in the final in literally 13 months from now. But it's a lot of games. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of podcasting, too. So let's jump over to this game that we had, which was absolutely incredible. And going in, I would say Gotham needs a statement win at this point, especially mm-hmm. at home when they failed to win their last four. And in comes Racing Louisville, who Gotham has only beaten just once so far. And Racing mm-hmm. is coached by former Gotham assistant Bev Yanez, who they have only won once this season, but they have not lost, which is also pretty interesting. So onto the injury report. I got what I manifested last week. I manifested at least two players upgraded to questionable, and then we got three. So Davidson, Edmonds, O'Hara, Purse, Smith, and Zerboni out. And then we have questionable Sinead Farley, Manny Freeman, Rose Lavelle, and Maitani Lopez downgraded to questionable with an illness. And this formation, this is interesting. So we have Berger as our first start in the league, which is super exciting. We have Sonnet as a center back paired up with Hyatt because we're running out of center backs. Nyswanger and Bernini on the outside. My favorite midfield and Ryan Martin and Sheehan. And then up front, we have Dunn, Gonzalez, and Williams. Your thoughts on this interesting lineup?
I love that you have the Fat Mob one because they always post the graphic and then I always make the joke that they line up in a 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1
yes,
formation. Sorry, Ruby, go ahead.
No, you're good. But I was going to say first here, Maitani Lopez, illness. I bet she caught whatever Jenna had. That's why.
I was literally thinking that when I saw, I like, no joke, honestly, like there's been like norovirus or whatever going around the area. And I'm like, I hope to God she does not have what I had because, oh, I would not wish that on my worst enemy, truly. So hopefully she's okay.
For real. Hopefully she's good and she'll be back for the next game. But you already know what I think about this lineup. First of all, I've been asking for Dunn to start for like the longest and she finally started. So I was really, really excited to see her play and starting in this game to see how she impacted the game early on instead of being a sub in the second half. Yeah, disappointed that Maitani was out and Davidson was also out. And like you mentioned last episode, Gary, we seen like different pairings in the back and now we got a different one. We got another new pairing, which is Sonnet and Hyatt.
Yeah, four center back different pairings in five games. So we're trying to collect them all, I guess.
Like it obviously sucked that like Tierney and Maitani were out, and Juan Carlos said at the press conference that when those two have been on the field together, Gotham has not conceded a goal. So I think that says a lot. But I thought Hyatt and Sonnet kind of held their own, and I don't really think the goal was particularly on them. You know, the tactics of this team involve a lot of running, a lot of tracking back, and I think they did well.
Obviously, as I said earlier, this is my favorite midfield three. And as I've been saying about this team for the past couple of games, is that they're losing control of the midfield. And I think getting these three back in their positions, who know each other, they play well with each other, they know where they have the press together. So it was good to see them back in, and Gotham was able to dominate midfield early, which we'll talk about. And before the game, a really cool moment is, I'm hoping this is a moment that's going to continue out through the season, but seeing Ellie Jean get her ring was really, really special.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping they would do that for all the players that kind of come back. I think I remember Washington Spirit did that with their championship rings, like when the players would come to their home or play their away messages. Like it's AIM. anyway. So I'm just looking forward to all the people who are no longer with Gotham to be able to partake in that because they deserve that. That's their win too, even if they're no longer with the team.
Yeah, exactly. I was so happy to see her. She's always like so bubbly, always smiling, in a good mood, dancing. I'm so glad she got like her moment and she got her ring.
Yeah, and I'll always shout out that interview. That was so good. It was one of our better ones that we've done. Now, this was a loud crowd. It was 6,000, but for the rest of the, I felt like 12,000-13,000. This was like, you know, again, a smaller crowd, but they were just really into it. And 10 minutes in, I was texting the both of you. I was like, where has Gotham's press been all this season? This is the best Gotham we've seen this for the first 10 minutes. And then in my YouTube feed, I saw a clickbaity type headline from our friends over at the Attacking Third asking if Seattle and Gotham had, quote, lost their identity. So, as we all know, Betteridge's Law of Headlines states that any headline that ends in a question mark, can simply be answered no. So, which is true. And for the first half, Gotham is simply all over Racing. Racing had 26 passes outside of their own half, and Gotham was just pushing them back. DeMello was bottled up. Only 36 touches in total this game, which is incredible. She's very involved in all the other games we played against them. She was the most fouled player on the pitch, so every time she tried to get going, Gotham took her down. It was just Racing retreating for most of the match and putting packing the box. It was not too much action in this first half, just a lot of one-way traffic. But, you know, everything but the goal in the first half. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal that they conceded was unfortunate. I don't think it was real. I think it was sort of against the run of play. Although Racing did have some very good moments, so not to take away from them because they're a very good team. But I do think that Gotham, you know, even though they didn't create a ton of chances, technically I think Racing had more shots on target. I think Gotham really dominated, LOL, if you know, you know, for large portions of the game. And I think they deserve the win. But interestingly, Gotham has never beat Racing at home. The only time they've won against Racing was in a away match. I remember I was in Italy and when it happened and I woke up and I checked my phone. I just assumed they were going to not win because they can't seem to win against Racing. And I was like, oh, they won. Yay. But I think this game, they really, like you said, Gary, they looked more like themselves. And I think the midfield trio was a big part of that. I think Williams getting some more minutes was a part of that. I think even getting Sinead back in there, her impact is part of that. And seeing the debut of Rose Lavelle obviously helps. I know we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, I think they played really, really well, but still not able to finish. It's kind of frustrating. I think by having Berger as a goalkeeper, like, that will help that aspect. Like, training with her, like, will make the strikers better at finishing because, you know, they have to score on this player, this goalkeeper who is really, really good. So I think that will help them. She's really, really good. I like to see how she was so calm at the game. Like, she knew what she was doing. She brought confidence in the net. I really like that. Also loved how she was directing the team where she was going to throw the ball. And I think her distribution is really good too.
So we talked about last week and the questions were about Cassie Miller inviting balls back to her feet. That's just the way Gotham plays. And Anne fits that perfectly. She was super comfortable with the ball at her feet, changing direction, dictating play and playing out of pressure. And we haven't had that since Mandy Haught. It was good to see. And you can see why Gotham went after her. And that's honestly, it's been a missing piece for this team. And I mentioned last week about continuity and this team needs to build it. And there's been just too many moving pieces around and players in and out. And in this game in particular, having Nyswanger and Williams on one side who just know each other, know how to play off each other. There was good spacing and it was very electric on that side of the field. On the other side, Dunn and Bernina kind of took the same spaces because they're just not used to playing with each other. They were kind of just occupying similar positions. But again, that's going to come, but in time. But that's the kind of thing that we need to start building on. But Sonnet was excellent in this first half. I mean, this is something that we haven't seen since Krieger left, was a center back with like the feet of a midfielder who's just manipulating Racing's pressure, playing out of pressure, directing the field, just simple little feints that pulled the other team to one side. And she was just excellent. And it was good to have her veteran leadership there. She was constantly in Sam Hyatt's ear. She was telling everybody where they should be. It was good to have that kind of leadership back there for this game.
Also, what was she going on to the refs about? Did you see that? That at one point, like, there was like her, I forget who else. They're like chatting about them with something. I was like, what are y'all talking about?
No, that ref needed a talking to.
the referee.
I think that's you know, to your point though, Gary, I think give that about her leadership on the field. I think it was very evident in that game. And she, I thought she was also excellent. And I don't know, this season for me feels like the season of Yasmin Ryan. She's already got 2 assists on the year. I think I've been keeping a close watch on her and what she's doing, because I think this could be, she could really, really do a lot for this team, you know, especially since, unfortunately, you know, we don't have Midge on that team anymore, which really sucks. Every time I think about it, I get upset. But I think Yaz is going to really step up. So, you know, I've just been keeping an eye on what she's been doing. And yeah, I think it's going to be good season from her.
Yeah, I agree. She's playing really well and she's stepping up for the team now that, you know, like you said, Midge is not here. I love seeing her play. She's so fierce and she got moves too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time. Honestly, this is a team of people with moves. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes when Esther gets on the ball, I'm like, oh, okay.
She's the player who's creating the most chances for the team. She's up to 13 at this point in 5 games, which is pretty good for a team that's not creating many chances. She's doing a lot of the work. jumping over to this second half. Now, Esther was on minutes watch. She's been playing a lot for the team and also internationally. She leaves at halftime and in comes Stengel, who is an absolute menace in the first like 5 to 10 minutes of this game. She strips Lund early on. That leads to the chance, I think, leads to the Dunn getting cleared off the line chance. Then she also strips the center back later on. It gets another chance off of that. It's a stalemate for a lot of time. And then 73rd minute, this is what we've been waiting for. Rose Lavelle enters the match. And it's been a while since I've seen a player getting fully cheered on from the entire stadium as she's warming up. And then coming onto the field, every single time she touches the ball, the crowd is electric. Every defender picks up their head because they know something magical might happen any minute. Mm-hmm. And just... yeah, this is just an incredible. Any thoughts on Rose's entrance to this game?
I mean, it was just, I was so mad that I wasn't there to see it in person. Yeah. But I will always keep in my heart that I was at the 2017 She Believes Cup and Red Bull when she had her U.S. Women's National Team debut. So I'll always have that, okay? But no, it's just, when she came on, like, you could absolutely, even from my couch, like, feel the energy in the stadium shift. And then, you know, she's Rose Lavelle. Like, you put the ball at her feet and it's like, oh, like, you just don't know what's going to happen. And after Gotham conceded the goal, I just, like, knew she was going to find a way to score. Like, I felt it in my bones. And I mean, she was like, you know, leading up to that goal, she was like dancing between four defenders and she gets the ball out wide and she gets, who passes it back to Brew, who just like throws it into the box. And then her and Ella Stevens just both with the presence of mind to like make sure that that ball got into the back of the net. Like, it just, I just kind of like, it just all felt very, very right with her debut. And get the goal to make sure you didn't drop too many points in that game. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, she was such a hero for that game and getting the equalizer for Gotham. It was so, so great to see. And she is such a special player. Like, when she touches the ball, it's like you guys say, it's just magic. You don't know what she's going to do. Like, she's really unpredictable. She'll like... and also... Rosabella has moved. Like you said, she had four defenders on her. When I saw that, I was like, ooh, well, I can't really like, because I'm impressed. So I have to be like a little calm there. But I was like, oh my God, this girl is like something else. And I'm so glad she's with Gotham.
Oh, that's like what I love watching at home, because I can like scream when I see that's something. Me. And it's funny because it's not even like, like, this is just how I watch soccer. Like, if I am home and I'm watching, even if it's, like, teams I don't care about, like, I'll just scream if I see something amazing. Like, I'll literally, like, my cat, like, will run, and Adriana's, like, shaking her head at me. Like, I just... So, basically, when that goal went in, I was just like, I knew it! Like...
Yeah, there was 4 minutes left, because I remember looking at the clock, and I was like, they have 4 minutes to, like get a goal. And when the referee blew the whistle to restart the game after the Louisville goal, you saw Delaney, and she was so determined to score or create a chance to score. She just like blasted with the ball, and it all started from that moment. And I saw that fire in her that I had not seen, and I really like that.
Yeah, there was another debut for this game, and it was as Berger. And there was a funny moment in this match that it was a pretty quiet first half for Anne. And then she's imposing, by the way. She's just very, she's got this calm energy. She's just definitely imposing. She's 5'11", something.
She's
like that.
Tall.
That's it.
Yeah. So there's a funny moment with Berger where it's like, maybe he's the 65th, near the 70th minute, and she hasn't done much all game. There's a shot that comes from like outside of the box, and it's going wide. But she leaps from like the center of the goal and nails it. And I was in my head, I'm like, is she just showing off or is she bored? And then she ends up making like 4 saves, and she makes another save just like that where she just launches, and she's got she can cover so much ground.
It's like cat-like.
Yeah, something we haven't seen. Even we had some good goalkeepers, and this is something we have not seen. So super impressive. She's just different.
Yeah, totally. I can't wait to see her in person next weekend, or this weekend rather. Wow.
Yeah.
Coming up Saturday. I love a Saturday game.
Yeah, it's gonna be hopefully be a beautiful night again on Saturday night. Yeah. And let's talk about this goal. There are two teams. There's Orlando and there's Racing. Their keepers are pretty good, but there's always, like, in the back of your mind, there's always one chance that they're gonna give up every game that's gonna make you shake your head. And Lund did it. She didn't call for her defender. She went up for it, crashed into her, dropped the ball. Good on Ella Stevens for being the first to it. And Rose just being, she's a magnet. So she just sits there in the middle of the box, puts it in the back of the net. And we win. It was the latest go ahead goal scored that didn't result in a win in league history. So good on Gotham for that. That building, if there was a roof on it, it would have definitely flown off because it was so loud, so crazy. And my girlfriend went to this game and it wasn't the most exciting game for most of it. So at least at the end, you got, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, I guess, right? Mm-hmm, so it leaves you with something really good for the fans to be excited about for next game.
I know. And sometimes a draw, it can be so fun. Like, think about the 2022 Portland-Gotham game, the last game of the year where they were just dead last and they denied Portland the shield. And that was a draw, but it felt like a win. It really felt like they won the league. That was how excited everybody was in that stadium. Like, you would have thought they won the league.
So any takeaways from this game?
You know, Gary's like, stop talking about 3 years ago. No, I think it was, I think they looked really good. I think everybody did what they needed to do. I think the goal that they conceded, those are kind of some easy tweaks and adjustments that they can make on that. And they got to find the back of the net. They have to take more shots. I mean, they took 19 shots, but I mean, only four of them are on target. But yeah, they just have to work on that clinical finishing. I don't know what it is. I don't know why they can't get the ball in the back of the net. They literally have everything except that last, the most important part. Well, not necessarily the most important part, but that's how you win the game. You score the goal.
There are moments in seasons where if we were two seasons ago, that goal goes in, it's over for Gotham.
Exactly.
Last season, they would find a way to claw back. In the beginning of the season, it looked almost like that 2 years ago, Gotham, where things aren't going your way. It's not going your way. But I think this moment could be that catalyst where it's like, okay, we found that grit again. We know how to claw back into games now. We don't give up. We keep fighting. We have that New Jersey, New York grit. And so hopefully
and
this is
exactly right.
Yeah.
I think that's mixing up who said it. It might have been both of them, both Rose and Juan Carlos after the game. But I think they both said that, which is basically that they had the fortitude and the wherewithal to keep forging ahead with the game plan and dig deep and get that equalizer. Because you're right, the Gotham of 2021 or 2022 might not have done that.
Yeah. And, last season we made it to the playoffs on goal differential. Those moments matter. So we'll look back on this moment later on in the season, see if this is one of those moments.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that Stengel was excellent in the second half. It was different just because Esther has been floating a little bit too much for my liking early on in this season. She's dropping too far back, going side to side and leaving the middle of the field open. So it's hard to press when you're not pressing as a team and one of your players is floating around. So having Stengel just centrally, just occupying center backs and just being a pest, that was really good to see. And I want to see more of Stengel as a nine.
Oh yeah. Once she gets on the field, like, it's going down and I love it.
Mm-hmm. She's got softer feet than you expect. She also can get around defenders and she's got some moves that can get her to the end line and get the balls across. And
yeah. And let's not forget her goal that sent Gotham to the final. Yeah. I mean, that has got to be, I think, the team's Golasso of the year. That was just crazy.
Yeah, that really was. And I really like her. I think she's like one of my favorite players.
And Gotham is starting to get healthy again. That's a super, super important. We've been asking for this all season. Rose, Sinead, and Freeman in an 18. Maitani's just out for illness. Hopefully she'll be back for this weekend. Better days ahead and hopefully less injuries.
Yes, ban injuries, ban all illnesses, especially stomach bugs.
Yes. Jumping to some quotes. This one was found by Jenna Tinelli. You may know who she is. Yeah. Lavelle's theme word of the post-game match is fun. She loves the group at Gotham, felt the energy from the crowd, from the warm-ups through her debut and goal, and then praised the performance of Berger in net. She notes that the team has to work on their finishing, but it's still early.
Yeah.
It is. It is early, but we are almost a quarter of the way through the season, if you want to think about it that way. It's crazy.
I don't. it was fun. In the post game, it was just, you know, the vibes were good and the energy was good. Even though it was a draw, the energy was really good. And I think Rose was just, at least from my perspective, felt that she was just like happy to be here, you know, happy to get out there, happy to score. It was cool to finally see her out there in those Gotham colors and see how excited the fans were for that as well. And getting the goal is just the cherry on top.
Yeah. And I like that she used the word fun. To be here is fun because, you know, I mean, who doesn't want to have fun? So, you know, like her mentioning that she's having fun at Gotham, that's great.
Yeah, awesome.
And on the atmosphere, she said it was a nice little welcome. They were very, very nice and fun to be a part of. When you have crowds like that, it makes playing this game so much more fun. We use that to propel us to build momentum. And I think it is really kind of like a 12th man out there when you have fans in the atmosphere like that. So once again, it was fun.
Fun.
And yeah, shout out to the crowd in this one. Loud, energetic, chanting. Awesome.
You could feel that even from my couch. And I know we talk about this all the time, but Red Bull Arena, just even if it's only, we've been to games where there's been like, what, 4,000 people there, and the crowd feels like it's 10 or 12. Like, it's just, there's such a great atmosphere. So when they're riled up and involved, and it's a totally different game. And I can't even imagine what it's like to be a player out there and just like feel all that energy. It must be so fun.
And let's get to some stats of the match. Ruby, do you have any stat of the match?
So Gotham had 479 passes this game, and with 80% of those passes, accurate passes. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not what about you, Jen?
Mine is one, the debut of Rose Lavelle. I just really felt like to be honest, Rose, that was her first regular season goal since 2022. It's no secret. She gets injured a lot. She doesn't play a lot of club minutes. Mm-hmm. But I do think the times when she's able to be healthy and be out there for club, she is a difference maker. That is why they brought her in. She gets, even if she's on 15 minutes, she's still making an impact. For me, that's the stat. First start, or first, not start, first minutes with Gotham.
Yeah, and my stat is 20 Gotham fouls to 9 for Racing, and I clocked Racing as being on the ground for 35 minutes in that game. I'm joking, but I'm not joking about the fouls, about Racing being on the ground. It felt like they were on the ground forever.
It was,
I
mean, 35
every,
and a
every
half.
Single Come time on. Gotham went in for contact, and Gotham's an aggressive team, so they were milking every one of those. Yeah.
But, and I do want to say, I know that DeMello went off with the concussion protocol. Right. So just obviously wishing her the best and hoping that she's okay and that we see her back out there soon. So I know those can last a little while. So hoping she's off. She's all right.
Correct. Player of the match. I think this is pretty obvious. The fans chose Rose Lavelle. Do you agree?
Yeah. Like, yes. I mean, it's tough. She was the game changer. I mean, you know, she came in and she made sure that Gotham did not lose that game. But at the same time, I think there was like so much work that had been done to lead up to that point. So Sheehan stands out to me. I mean, she's just missing a goal. I just want her to get a goal so bad. Every game, I just see how much work she is putting in to possess the ball, move the ball up the field, hold up play. It's just incredible. Like, I totally see why, you know, Juan Carlos plays her. But then she gets in front of net and I'm like, shoot.
Yes.
But I think so. She's up there for me, though, for sure. And then Berger, I mean, what a welcome to the NWSL. Just an incredible performance.
What about you, Ruby?
Yes, 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 yes. Everything that Jenna said, like, I can't just give it to one person because this was like a collective win. So I think everyone, but like, yeah, like you said, Sheehan stood out, Sonnet, Berger, Lavelle, of course, William Stengel, everyone did their part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true team effort.
I got Sonnet, I got Sheehan, I got Berger, I got Lavelle. Yeah. Yeah. This is a collective group effort. We'll go with that. So looking at the standings, womp womp, we are below the line for the second week in a row. We have not been below the line since week two of last season. And Casey is rolling teams right now. And we're the only team that they've not only scored one goal on. So we got that going for us.
Yeah. But, is Gotham the only team that even took points off them? Yeah.
Yep. Yes, right, we got that. And then North Carolina, our opponent this weekend, is in number two. Pretty much everybody we played is up the table. And
it's been a real difficult start for Gotham. And I think that's part of why they haven't gotten some wins. But
it's also part of it has to be injuries. Like, we have so many injuries, like, it's hard to play with a limited roster.
And Portland's back. And it was fun while it lasted.
Honestly, I mean, the fact that Gotham got that season opening win against Portland at home is great. Good for them.
This is interesting. So going to our next opponent, we are one game behind everybody in the league, and our opponent plays this Wednesday, depending on when you listen to this episode. So we're going to be two games behind our opponent this weekend. Yay for balanced schedules. And this is Courage at home this time, and we are done with them for the rest of the season, minus some tournaments and stuff like that. So here's something that's interesting. We haven't won in 5 home matches, which stinks. Doesn't feel like that, but it's true. And we're currently ranked last in the league in goals scored. And everybody knows the Courage at this point. They possess. When they don't have it, they win it back, and then they possess again. They also have the most clean sheets and penalties given at 3 each. Your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
So this is a strong team for me. The Courage have really great players. They got Sanchez, Pinto out there, who we didn't, like, at any given moment, like, any of these players can score like we saw last time. So I think this is for this game, I think they must win. They have to win this game to set that, you know, standard, that mentality, to get them back with that confidence on the field. If they don't win this game, it's going to be really tough to get out of that funk where you've been losing or tying all these games. So I think defense has to play a big part of it, but also we have to start finishing these opportunities, all these chances that we get. Sheehan, just shoot.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think, I mean, other than the game, the 2 goals loss against Spirit, Gotham's really only been doing like 1-0 losses. So I think, you know, that is not bad. I think defense is doing their job. I think the midfield, you know, last week looked really, really good. And I totally agree with your last point, Ruby. Like, they just need to score. Just gotta score. Everything else is working. The goalkeeping is solid. The defenders are defending, and even when they're, you know, all the way back in their depth list because they have Maitane and Tierna out. So that is all working for me. They just gotta get that ball in the back of the net. Just missing that. So if they can do that, I see no reason why they can't beat the Courage.
Yeah, my perspective changed after seeing Gotham's press this past game. I think if Gotham can control Sullivan like they did DeMello, this could be a good one for Gotham. And, you know, with Lavelle, all things possible.
So what, I need that on a t-shirt.
What are we manifesting this week?
A win, of course, Gary.
Okay. Jenna?
Yep. A win. Come on, get some points. Get on the board. It's always much more fun to cover a win. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So any random thoughts before we go?
Well, I just want to know what Ruby's was, because like she teased it up top and I've been like dying all episode.
But it's like, it is so random because you would think, I don't know what you would think, but sometimes I think like, what the hell am I thinking? Why am I thinking those things? Anyway, so this is a random thought I had today. So in the morning before going to work, I saw like one last banana there. You know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be good. Thinking about being healthier, eating healthier. I'm going to grab the banana and I'm going to take it to work. So I grabbed the banana, took it to work.
Oh, wait, I just got to pause. I have no idea where this could possibly be going.
Well, technically, I took my banana for a field trip because my banana was sitting like on my desk all day. I saw it there And then I even went to the break room and they had cake, and I had cake instead of my banana. So literally, I just took my banana for a field trip to work, like bring your banana to work, because I brought it back home and I was like, wow. So I just like took this banana to work and it's back here and I have not eaten it. So
I know this is an audio podcast, but I have tears in my eyes. Like, I am cracking up at this story. I don't know why I just find that so funny. I feel like you should draw a little like eyes and a face on it, and it's gotta be like your like friend now.
Well, can't be for life because it has a short lifespan, but I will draw some eyes and I'll post it on Twitter. I still call it Twitter.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
That is so funny. I've actually been eating some bananas lately because I've been sick. So I had the brat diet. So I've been doing my applesauce and bananas and rice and toast. But yeah, no field trips for my bananas.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like outside with my dogs and I was like, wow, I really just took my banana for a field trip.
What kind of cake was it?
It was chocolate cake. I only had like a little tiny piece. So I don't feel that bad like about it, but
no,
I chose to eat the cake instead of the banana.
That's so funny. That's hilarious. I know. I'm trying to like also be pretty healthy because we're going to Italy for 3 weeks this year. Ooh. And I planned on just eating my way through.
Yes.
from Rome up to Milan, we're doing the span. So we're going to enjoy.
Yeah, me and my wife want to go to Bolivia, and I'm like, just let me know because I need to lose at least 10 pounds for me to go to Bolivia and just stuff my face.
I know, and gain it all back, plus more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I have any random thoughts like that random, but I think, you know, my random thought is that the fact that this is the 100th episode, it just always makes me think like, wow, like 4 seasons, like it's just been a wild ride. So it's just fun, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's weird feeling like not like a professional, but like, I don't know, like I was on the Lions Pitch podcast. Shout out to them. It's a new podcast. It's covering North Carolina Courage. They're friends of mine now. And it's just like, I'm like, they're asking me questions. I'm like, wow, I'm a professional now. Like, I know what I'm doing. Is that where I'm at in this thing?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. 4 years experience.
I know. I know. Put it on my resume.
By the way, we just reached 600 followers on Instagram. We did it like 6 like an hour ago. Thank you guys.
Oh, yay. Awesome.
Nice.
We're going to be the place to go once Twitter dies eventually. Who knows? Apparently hanging on by a thread over there.
That was a random thought.
So before we get over to the interview, so you have all listened to this interview already. Any takeaways from this interview that you're super excited about?
Is it an interview with the banana that went on a field trip?
No.
No, we have a very special guest. The banana will be probably 101.
Yeah.
Episode 101 or something. But yeah, special guest, Sinead. Barely. So I was so excited for that interview. Fun fact about it, like when I met her, well, I introduced myself to her. It was for the celebration Gotham had in November for the championship. So I went up to her, introduced myself to her, and like, she's a hugger. She likes hugs, for anyone out there that wants to know. There's not a lot of huggers out there. I know
Stengel?
No. Yeah, Stengel's not a hugger. Yeah. So, yeah, she's a hugger. She's so nice. Like, she makes you feel instantly like you know her forever and she's your friend. So, seriously, I cannot wait for everyone just to listen to that interview.
Yeah, it's I've had the honor of speaking with her a few times, and I did a piece on her journey for the New York Post last year, and it's just, she's so insightful and thoughtful and generous with her story, and just the way she speaks is very engaging. And I think everyone's going to really, really, really enjoy this interview. And I think it's awesome that you guys got this set up.
Indeed. All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Well, One of the greatest sports stories of my lifetime is the turnaround from worst to first. That was Gotham FC 2023. Inside of that amazing story are some interesting, even more amazing stories of the players. One such player who just had an unreal storybook season last season is Sinead Farley. And we're going to take a ride together, and we're going to go inside her journey from the past year of returning to the sport, making the Ireland World Cup squad, winning a championship. And I'm honored to be able to tell that part of her incredible story. So welcome to the show, Sinead.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here.
Obviously, first, congrats on getting the ring. That must have felt amazing for you.
Yeah. I mean, actually seeing it in person was really nice. I mean, it was a lot bigger than I expected. So it was fun to wear it for a day. I'll probably like never wear it again. It'll be kept in its case, but it was fun to get it the other day at the home opener and just put it on for a little bit.
Yeah. And hear the roar of the fans. And it was an amazing atmosphere the last game. It was 8,500, but it felt like 20,000 in that arena. And what is it like to have that kind of support, like cloud nine behind you?
Yeah. I mean, I personally love our arena and stadium over all the others. I don't feel like I'm being biased about that. I just think it's an amazing atmosphere and it feels like really intimate. It obviously feels so much better when we have more fans there. And Cloud Nine has just been so supportive from day one, and we can always feel them, always hear them no matter what. And it's just amazing.
So let's jump into getting the Gotham jersey. So you got called into Gotham preseason. Like, how did that come about? I know you were doing like a 6-month sports montage of training to get back to, yeah, you know, to Gotham. But like, what was like, who talked you into coming, or what was the connection?
I mean, I wasn't sure until like the month before, really, that I was going to come into the NWSL. I was, you know, I took that 6 months when I decided I wanted to try and come back to play soccer again. Like, my goal was to see how far I could make it. So I didn't know if I could go pro. Maybe like I could just play pickup with friends or whatever it was, but I was just going to kind of keep taking it day by day. But I had this like kind of goal in mind, and I was really hesitant to actually come to the NWSL. I just had my own stuff. I think I was really afraid. I didn't feel like it felt like such a big step, and I didn't know if I was ready. But when I realized that I was just not choosing to try because I was afraid, I was like, shoot, I have to just do it. You know, like there was just so much fear I had to overcome to try out. And I just didn't want to continue to shy away from something that just felt kind of out of reach. But I just had people that were like helping me connect with coaches. So I was just talking to some of the other teams and seeing if people had spot for me to come into preseason. And just after speaking with Yael and Juan and the people here and what their vision was, I just felt really like called, honestly, that like this just felt like the spot for me to try. And I knew I had like my people, like Michelle Beto's McCall, they were all here and they've been through like with me through so much and like since the beginning of the league. And so I just needed to feel like safe and comfortable to really like show up as myself and feel confident. And so, yeah, so I felt like, honestly, I was like kind of choosing, and then it just felt right. So I went into, and they were obviously like, I was so privileged that they had invited me that I could go with them to preseason because preseason was away. And, they brought me to Florida and stuff. So that was the start and how that happened.
And how was that experience for you? I mean, it must have been emotionally a lot. And coming, yeah, from, obviously, jumping from, like you said, 6 months, I think it was, right? From training to, yeah, preseason. That's a lot. So like, did you think you did really well? Were you just still getting your feet underneath you? What was that like?
I was like really hard on myself, I would say, in the beginning, because I just felt, I mean, in one sense, it was like too much for me. Like it was like such a big jump. Like I did it, but I felt like every day, like my body had went past its limit to like kind of keep up a little bit. And so I think physically I was struggling, emotionally I was struggling. I mean, I've said this before, but I was like crying almost every day of preseason, just on my own, feeling like, am I capable of doing this? Like, I don't know, just feeling a lot of self-doubt and just wondering if I belonged there and I could do some stuff, but I just felt like a step behind in a lot of ways, which made sense. But I just wanted to come in and be perfect because that's just what I wanted. That would be the most ideal situation. And so, yeah, it was really, really hard. But I think it was something I struggled with through the whole season. But the only way that I really conquered my doubts and my fears and my self-criticism was just showing up every day, even with those things, and seeing my progress, feeling more comfortable, making mistakes and realizing like it wasn't the end of the world and I was able to come back from them. So it was like such an amazing year and I learned so much from it and I would choose to do it again, but it was really, really hard.
Yes. It's one thing to be, there's two different parts. It's like, obviously it's being mentally ready to jump, make that jump, but it's also be physically ready. Like, yeah. I know like during the season you had like a cast on your wrist and you had your legs taped up sometimes, and it's a long, grueling season. So how did you feel looking back? Like, how did you feel mentally and physically ready for these things?
I mean, I don't know how I didn't get seriously injured is what my thought is looking back on the year, but I made it through with just a broken arm. But yeah, I think that I was ready, obviously, to me, or I wouldn't have that opportunity and I wouldn't have been able to do it. But I also feel like I pushed myself past the limit, honestly, and dealt with like burnout throughout the season and, you know, had to ask for like a few days off because it just felt like too much at times. And I feel really lucky to have had like the support that I had here with teammates and the staff who gave me the space that I needed, the time that I needed to deal with what I needed to deal with so I could show up every day as like giving my all, whatever that was for the day. Like the whole year was just so many lessons and blessings. And I think I wanted it to be different, but looking back, it was like exactly kind of what it needed to be. And it has like prepared me kind of for this season, even though like I've been injured and it's kind of been difficult as well, but just the perspective and lens change that I've had from my experience last year is like, has been like honestly life-changing for me. So I'm just super grateful for it.
You actually finally have an off season.
And you get the call,
you're on Gotham FC, but your journey just ramps up and it goes in a completely different direction. And the storybook of that year just seemed like it was just getting started because you also received a call from the Ireland national team. I mean, how did that come about?
I had my old college coach that was helping me. He was the one that helped me like get in touch with Gotham and stuff like that. I just feel like all the coaches kind of know each other. So I had spoken to Vera, who was the coach at the time, and we were just like monitoring how I was because yes, I got through preseason and I made the team, but I wasn't 90 minute fit. I was still trying to like, I don't know, every day I was just so exhausted and I was just getting used to it. So like, I didn't even go to that first camp because I just wasn't really ready for them like that year. And so I think like we had been in contact talking about it, but I wasn't even sure that it was going to work out and nor if they would want to take me at that time. Like I just, the timing was ended up working out, but it was a big thing. And I didn't know I was going to do it until it was time to go, like get called into that camp where we played the US, which was like absurd. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was your connection to Ireland? And like, did you know the anthem? Like, it was just like a kind of crash course.
So my dad is from there and I grew up there. So I was born in Havertown, Pennsylvania. And after I was born, we moved to Ireland and like all my family and stuff is from there. So we were there for years, came back here, like went to school here, like growing up, but we would go back every summer for at least a month. And like, so Ireland and Irish culture has like always been a huge part of my family. I always had those like deep rooted kind of ties to that, but no, I didn't know the anthem. So when I realized that maybe I was going to go to the World Cup, I was learning it. And especially I was like, had to be on TV. I was like, I cannot get this wrong. It's so hard too. It was really, really difficult. So I didn't know those, all those details, but like deep in my heart and soul, I have such a connection with Ireland. So it felt really special to me.
You get to start for the first game. You're standing there across, I think was it Nigeria your first game?
Australia. It was the home opener against them. Yeah, it was insane.
So 5 minutes that lead up to the kickoff for the World Cup and you're standing there, the crowd's around you, you're feeling that energy. Like, what were you seeing? What were you thinking? And What did it mean to you just to take all that in?
It was like one of those things that, like, I remember walking out because the state, I think there was like 75,000 people there or something. It was wild. But like the second we walked out of the tunnel, and it was just like Gladiator, like just everyone like roaring. And I was like, whoa, this is like a movie. But honestly, I was struggling so much with, I struggled a lot with like anxiety on the field, and I would feel kind of like out there, but like paralyzed and just kind of in my own head. And that first game, I was so like almost like dissociated, like not necessarily in my body. So it was like one of those experiences where you get to look back and enjoy it more than when I was in it, because I was almost just couldn't handle like the pressure that I felt, and the, like, I couldn't enjoy it for what it was. I was just feeling all the stress and pressure and anxiety and stuff like that. So yeah, I do remember like the walkout though. And that was like pretty cool. I was like, this can't be real life.
Yeah. It's something that like no one can take away from you now. It's just yours. And now, like, reflecting back on that, like, what did you learn from that experience?
I think I just learned so much about my personal resilience, and that the only way to like overcome fear is to actually like do the thing you're most afraid of, and realize that when you do it, I don't know, the world doesn't end. Like, I was so nervous to make a mistake, and I've always been like this, but I just felt like more eyes were on me like coming back. And that was a reason why I questioned coming to NWSL, because I didn't want to have any attention kind of around it. And so I feel like just with the World Cup, I felt a lot of pressure. And so like, but I kept saying every day, but like, I just felt like I couldn't do it, but I was like, I'm not going to quit. And so every day that I was showing up, and even that first game, I really struggled after that first game of just like being really negative with myself and not knowing if I was good enough to be there. If, I don't know, I just like had a spiral. But then showing up and playing the next game and just, I don't know, seeing that like life goes on. I just felt like I learned, I had so much evidence for my brain that like, okay, your worst fear happened. Like, you played this game and I just didn't feel confident. I didn't feel good, but it's over and you can go to the next one. And I just feel like that showed me so much. And for future moments when I'm struggling, of just remembering that and just being like, you didn't die. Like, people still love you. Your family still loves you. Like, it's going to be okay. So I just think it's been really helpful for me in life. Like, anytime I'm up against my own brain and like any obstacles.
Yeah. And obviously I feel like, just personally, I don't think you can get anywhere in life without like a good support system. Yeah. So talk about some of the people that helped you out through this past year that like you leaned on when times were really, really tough.
Yeah. I mean, I have a best friend that I've had since I was like four, Bridget, who's just like been with me through everything. And so I feel like I always have that foundation with me. So that's something I'm super blessed with. So she's always there. My family's been so supportive. My mom has like helped me so much along this journey and like coming back to soccer and just like believing in me when I didn't believe in myself. Yeah. And just like my old college coach, and just even the staff here and the teammates that were already here. Like, I've just been so lucky with people being so openly supportive of me and creating spaces for me to share when I'm feeling vulnerable or anxious or having doubts. And that feels really good, because I know that's not the case for everyone. And sometimes it's hard to find that in this culture, in this space, but I've been really lucky to like have that. So yeah, I would have been able to do anything without other people. So
yeah, and you have teammates that you have a long history with. Obviously, you mentioned Zerboni, Betos, who's been entwined with you since the beginning as well. And one player that, one of the coolest things about last season was going in the media booth and looking over at the stadium, and then a couple rows ahead of me, and there's Mona Shim. I'm like, she's right there. That's Mona Shim. And then she ends up getting a chance to play with Gotham as a replacement player. What was that like? Did you know this was something that you plan? How did that come about?
I mean, we did not plan it. And like, I was here, and then when she came in, like, obviously I knew she was coming in to like try out or like come when she came mid-season, but that wasn't even like an opportunity, like a thought, a pathway in my brain that was going to happen. So it was like such a fun surprise, and it was so fun getting to like come to training every day. And I don't know, I think both of us have an understanding of like what we've been through, obviously. And it's so much more than just coming back and playing. There's a lot of like healing that needs to be done with our relationships with soccer and the league and just being in this culture and stuff again. So it was just really nice to have someone who fully understood that and we could lean on each other and also just like be in joy in the sport instead of it feeling like it was like this heavy, scary thing. And I mean, it was just like so fun. And then obviously like we won and it was just like, this is a dream, you know?
One of my favorite moments of last season was a late night post-game presser during the World Cup. I mean, Mana's there and I asked her like, what is it like for her to see you playing at the World Cup? And she went on for like 5 minutes about how amazing you are as a person. You're the best soccer player she's ever been around and how proud she was. And it was like this really cool just moments of, did you guys were able to share those experiences together to cheer each other on? And you guys go back to Portland. You put an article out in the Oregon Live about your experience going back to Portland the first time. The results don't quite go the way you wanted it to the first time. You get a second chance. And it seems like what this season is about for you, it's like getting another mm-hmm. chance. And then you go back. And what is it like? What was that moment to you on the field seeing Katie Stengel hit that winner in the dying minutes of that game, in the rain, the monsoon? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was incredible. And like there's something different about like being on the field. And I saw Katie turn and she mm-hmm. like Stang is just amazing. And she'll just like hit these shots from nowhere that'll go in. And I was like, oh my effing God, it's going in. Like it was just, I just can remember that feeling. And yeah, being at Portland, obviously with their stadium, with all their fans, Mana and I were laughing. We're like, we don't even care about the other loss. Like this, we would have rather won this game than the one before. So yeah, I did feel like we got the second chance to come back and it was like so meant to be. And that goal was amazing. I think when she scored was amazing. There wasn't obviously that much like time left and it's always such a hard game against them. And, you know, Mana and I have so much personal stuff there too. So it was just like so, such an amazing feeling. I think Mana was like crying in all the pictures after the game. She was so funny. But yeah, it was just super emotional, amazing. And like, I wouldn't have like written it up a different way.
And you're all playing for Allie Krieger to get her first championship in her last season. And what was that like for you to just be around her and pick her brain? And yeah, what was that season like with her?
Yeah, I mean, she's just like such a great leader and everyone respects her so much and listens to her. So it's just like, there was such a like cohesiveness, I think, among that group. And we were all on board and supporting her, each other, and especially her. And I think when you have something bigger to play for, it like most of the time is just like so much more motivating. And there's a lot of just like energy there and passion. And so I feel like that like launched us through that entire playoff run.
Yeah, and the playoff run, Gotham enters as a sixth seed, the first sixth seed to not only win a game in the playoffs, but to make it to the championship. And let's talk about that storybook ending. You're on the field. Did you see Mandy touch the ball? Did you know what was going on? Did you think he had subs? What was going through your head in that moment? Because everything was going the right way. If everything was calm, it's like it almost seems like a foregone conclusion, and then it just goes sideways.
I know. I mean, I feel like that was so our team though. We're like just always have to be the drama. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I just feel like it was ridiculous. Like I mean, I was helping Neely put on her jersey. I'm like laughing. I'm like, this, I don't even know what to do. We're trying to talk each other up to say what's the plan. And I'm like, I don't know the plan. And so I think we were just in like almost like fight or flight survival mode, like just like, all right, we have to get the jersey on, stand there, do whatever. So honestly, it was like comical for my personal experience, because I think when things are so ridiculous, I just kind of laugh. And also I was freaking out because I was like, if this goes to overtime, like everyone was just like so tired. We just wanted to win and be done. And we were like, this is crazy. So yeah, it was wild. But I don't know. I mean, the fact that we, looking back, we won, it's like fun to like, just as a fan, like I'm sure that was such a fun way to end the game and to like be on your toes. Fun. I think it's great. Yeah.
The moment that I think is the funniest to me is you trying to pull Neely's arms through the jersey when she's got the gloves on already.
Yeah. I don't think either of us were thinking. We were just like, we have to get this on as fast as possible. And like just no brain thoughts were happening.
And the ball bounces around that 18-yard box. Renina knocks it out of bounds. The ball comes back in. Lynn finally clears it. The whistle blows. What are you going through? Who are you looking for? What are you experiencing? What do you see? What do you hear?
I mean, I just think everyone just started running to the other players that were like on the bench. And that, I mean, that wasn't like planned or anything, but everyone was just like running towards each other. I don't know. I think it's one of those like out of body moments again, where you don't really know what you're doing. You're just acting instinctively and you're not thinking. So I wasn't thinking anything other than like, let's all get together and scream and jump about, because that's just what we do when we win. So yeah, I don't remember having any thoughts, just like this like excitement and like relief that the game was over, and then excitement that we did it. Like, we just couldn't believe that we did it.
And you and Mona Shim are NWSL champions, which is incredible. So cool. What was that like, you know, just being, I mean, when did it hit you that you guys accomplished all of that together?
I think like not till after, like not even that day or whatever. I just think like once we had time to like process the whole season and look back, it's was easier to just be like, wow, we really did that. I think it was just something in the moment when you're experiencing it that's like really hard to grasp what happened, the whole journey from the beginning to now, and that it was like real and all of those things. So it definitely like took a while, and still even like she came down for the ring ceremony obviously, and it was just like, did that happen? I don't know, it just still seems a little surreal.
And reflections, we talked a little bit about this, but looking back over this past year, like what do you take from it? What did you learn from those experiences?
Yeah, I learned so much. I think last year was such a like transformative year for me in a lot of ways. And also I saw so much of where I was actually acting from like a place that I don't want to be. Okay, I don't know how to explain this, but like I felt like when I left soccer, there was a lot of things that I realized I was like getting caught up into, like my identity being attached to soccer. So that meant like if I performed well, I was happy. If I performed bad, I wasn't worthy or something. And I had done so much work outside of the game with that stuff, but getting put back into the culture, it's so prominent. It's so competitive. It's so intense. And it's so easy to get wrapped up into like, I don't know, the little details and like question yourself and if you belong and all those things. And just coming from not playing for so long and just with my past, I struggled with confidence anyway. And I found myself being really critical with myself and being really hard on myself. And I got to a point where I was like, I don't even want to play if it's not fun. Like what am I doing? And so I just had a really big perspective change of what this journey really is for me. And it's really just a healing journey for me to find joy and the love that I've always had with soccer. And that's more important to me than how much I'm playing and my starting time and anything like that. But it was hard for me to know that last year because I just felt like I got thrown into it. I wasn't ready. I wanted to like keep being like better and better and perfect and all this stuff. And it just like, I had so much high expectations for myself, and just going through that journey all year, like the roller coaster of it, I just learned so much. And I feel like a completely different person coming into this year. And I'm just like really grateful for it. So yeah.
In a way, it's like, you know, not mentioned much of the past, but like, I feel like your story is being written by other people. And it's like this past season, it felt like you were a little bit more in control of telling your own story. And just congratulations on all your success last year.
Thank you so much.
It's amazing. And what is, I mean, obviously the league is in a better place now, obviously because of things that you're a part of, Mona was a part of, and she's still part of, but like, what are you hopeful for the future of like this league?
I think I'm hopeful for just more like fulfillment in the players. I think the players have been in this like fight stance of survival, like the people that have been here for so long, it's like been the survival thing. And I think there's always this feeling of like unfulfillment because certain needs aren't getting met, whether it's like on the physical side, mental, emotional, psychological, whatever it is. Like there's so much work I think to do on the mental health side. And I think that like that if that's missing, you're not going to have players that are fulfilled in their lives, who they are as people, showing up. And to me, like, that's just going to make a better league. It's going to make better soccer. Like, people play better when they're happier, when they're feeling good about themselves and their life outside of soccer. And I think my hope is that they, like, when you watch the NWSL, I mean, women's soccer in general, but, like, you can see the, like, joy and the enjoyment of people instead of the, like, the fight, you know, that you feel like you have to have, or you're like burnt out or you're tired or whatever it is. Like, I just feel like there's this like spark of energy that you get when you feel like all your needs are met and you're playing in a space that, you know, you're seen, heard, valued, all that stuff. And I think we're still searching for that. And obviously there's been so much progress, but there's so much work to do. Yeah. I just think you're going to be able to tell it in the way that the soccer is being played, in the way that the players carry themselves, how they are with their teammates, the chemistry, like all of that connects. So that's my hope.
And like, just you personally, obviously you've made it through last year, you survived, and now you're looking ahead to another season at Gotham. Mm-hmm. What is your goals this season? What are you looking to accomplish? And
yeah, my goals is just so much about joy and enjoyment. And I know that when I'm like showing up as myself, like I perform and I'm happy and I'm feeling free on the field. And that's the best thing I could do for this team and for my teammates. And so I think that I'm just still working on detaching from a lot of like things we have in this culture that say you have to be. And I'm working on trusting myself that like, I know who I am. I know what I need to perform, to show up, and trusting that even if it looks different than how I'm told I should be or how other people are doing it, like that's okay. And so I'm just like really excited for this year, because I just feel, it feels different than last year in a good way.
Yeah. And you finally had an off season. Looks like you traveled around a bit, had a little bit of good time. So what was your off season like?
Well, I had like a few weeks after, because I had a camp with Ireland. Like, so it was like December, I guess. Yeah. Maybe I had season till. So, but I went right to Spain. And that was fun. We were there for like 2.5 weeks, and like my Tane's from there. So it was like nice having, I wasn't doing any like the touristy stuff. I was like doing like what the locals do and stuff. So it was super fun. The weather was amazing. The food was amazing. Came home for Christmas and kind of like hung out here, went to San Diego. I don't know. We tried to find like sunshine and other healing, nourishing things. I mean, it still felt like it was so short, honestly, but it was like really needed. And I finally got the time to process the year, because it was hard to process while it was happening. So it was like really important for me to have that time.
Well, good luck this season. We're all going to be rooting for you, and we look forward to seeing you back on the field as soon as you possibly can. But obviously it's a long season. You know, you got to stay healthy through the entire thing.
Yeah.
So sadly, we come to the end of the interview, and I just thank you for taking the time to speak with me. Your story is legendary, but it's like, I still feel like there's a lot more to be told with your story. Mm-hmm. And good luck doing that. And we'd love to have you back on and reflect on that a little bit more when we get there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And totally, I'll have more updates later in the season, because this is just the beginning, guys. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. And fans, so thank you for listening to episode 100. It's been a ride. And I'm excited for what's to come. And thanks to everybody who's taken a small part in our come up. So I'm ready for the rest of the season for Gotham FC. Looking forward to get back in the field. Are you ready, Sinead?
I am ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything, so please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.